Hi again, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Wald, otherwise known as the Blood Detective, and this is our second segment on healthy diet basics. I started a conversation on some fundamental points, what are my top 12 points that a person, I believe, should be mindful of in terms of their general health and well-being and their food and lifestyle choices. So please do listen to part one of Healthy Diet Basics, which you can find on my website under the blog section of the website at www.intmedny.com, or the blog section, that is, at www.blooddetective.com. For those of you who have questions about this or other shows that I've posted, and we do a show every Wednesday entitled Ask the Blood Detective, you can call in those questions too at 914-242-8844. So during the first show, we spoke about the need for increasing the amount of whole unprocessed foods in our diets relative to the amount of processed foods. We want to diversify our diets so that we get in a rich amount of nutrition from a variety of sources, giving our bodies a fuller appreciation of those essential nutritional compounds we need for growth and repair so that our rate of regeneration exceeds our rate of degeneration, which of course is disease. We do not want a fat-free diet. We need to consume the polyunsaturated fats like the omega-3s in greater proportion to the omega-6s and 9s, and of course consume very little, if any, saturated fats, no trans fats. We want a diet that's high in soluble and insoluble fibers. And again, I've said more about these points on the first show. I'm just reviewing them very quickly now for those of you who did not hear the first show, and to remind those who did of these basic points. We want to ensure that we have sufficient protein each day, because during degeneration, whether it's part of normal aging or degenerative disease, our body loses lean body mass or protein, and the body tends to steal proteins from certain areas to fix others, and if that stealing process continues, then we have breakdown of tissues. So to take a bunch of nutritional supplements, vitamins, minerals, herbs, for example, and not have a basic protein diet and proper amounts of protein based upon our kilogram of body weight and our lean body mass will not allow any nutritional supplements to work at all or work properly. Many of my patients make the mistake of relying too much on nutritional supplements, and they also have the wrong ideas or incomplete information about what constitutes a healthy diet for them. You know, everything I'm talking about in part one and part two of the show are basic guidelines, but as part of my Blood Detective's longevity workup in my office, I can personalize one's lifestyle, including their diet, nutritional supplements, based on their biochemical individuality, based on your biochemical individuality. The reason why there's so much confusion and so much controversy regarding what this nutrient does or what this healthy diet should be, the latest craze is the paleo diet, is because there is no ideal way for someone to eat, not even the so-called paleo diet. First of all, the paleo diet often will rely on whey protein. There was no whey way back when, where early hominids were roaming the planet. Number two, of course we want to eat lower down on the food chain, fruits, vegetables, that sort of thing. But the other problem with the paleo diet is that we have some early hominids from which we were evolutionary developed from that may have lived closer to the shoreline and ate diets higher in fish. There are other hominids, early human beings, that lived much further inland where their diet may have been more plant-based or animal-based. So to throw it all together and say, well, this is the diet of early people is ridiculous and incorrect from an evolutionary point of view. Not to mention, I think, from a common sense point of view, except common sense, many of us know, is not all too common in science or in the nutritional industry, because everyone seems to focus on money in that area only, sometimes at the expense of health and common sense. Now, I had mentioned throughout this talk and the last talk that we want to decrease or eliminate refined and processed sugars from our diet. The average American consumes over 175 pounds of sugar annually, and since I don't consume any of it, some of you are consuming even more, but of course no one that listens to this show, and I actually mean that. this is a far more educated group of people that listen and take the time to listen to this type of work that don't. But as a substitute for the refined and processed sugars, we want to use natural unprocessed sugars that are high in vitamins and minerals and enzymes and fiber and other natural compounds. And so, for example, 100% maple syrup, that's triple A grade. You know, if it's less than triple A grade, formaldehyde pellets are used on maple trees as the maple flows from the tree because the formaldehyde pellets help prevent the clotting or the stoppage of the flow of the maple syrup, but that formaldehyde does get into the maple syrup. So we want organic maple syrup. We want fruit-only jams and, of course, fresh fruit and honey and molasses and barley malt and brown rice syrups and carob. Those are very good substitutes for the sucrose and glucose, which are the so-called bad sugars in the diet. On my website and blog, you can search for 50 health issues relating to sugar. Just search sugar, and you'll see if I have listed them for you. I may have even listed as many as 50, but there are hundreds of problems with sugar. And many of you think, well, what about fruits? Fruits have sugar in them. Yes, but they have fructose, with the exception of grapes, which have glucose. Now, I just said glucose was bad. Well, I'm a runner, for example, and I work out heavily with weights and other things and do martial arts. And having quick energy, very rapidly absorbed glucose from grapes is an excellent food for pre, during, and post-workout glycogen recovery. So there are exceptions to every rule. Plus, plant foods with fructose, they're not only fructose. They have all the phytonutrients, fibers, vitamins, minerals in those plants, and that's not processed the same way as, let's say, fructose might be as a single sugar extracted from the plant. So there's a lot of controversy out there, and I believe misinformation, that when someone believes they need to eliminate sugar, let's say with an anti-candida diet, they eliminate fruit. If that person with candida, as an example, had a low immune system, then that might be true because fruit does contain many natural fungal agents. And again, more on that in future shows. If you have tried anti-candida diets or any type of diet or supplement that you believed was correct and seems correct on paper, but it hasn't worked, guess what? It's probably not correct. When you call my office, if you should see me, you ask for the Blood Detective Longevity Workup. I'll do nearly 200 different biochemical tests to figure out what lifestyle, diet, nutritional supplements you need. And then we test you against yourself to literally write the book on you. That, I think, is the only way to give homage, or pay homage, that is, to your metabolic uniqueness. We want to drink plenty of water every day, and you can figure that out roughly by certain calculations like your body weight divided by 2 and then multiplied by 0.8, and that's the number of ounces your body needs, but more if you're exercising. On the other hand, you can look at the color of your urine. This is much easier for men, of course, and your urine should be essentially clear, slightly straw-colored. So again, the urine should be slightly straw-colored, not all the way clear, and you can be urinating a couple times an hour. For women, it's going to be very difficult to examine the urine that way, or if next to impossible. And different foods do affect the color of your urine. So this is just a general guideline. I gave you the calculation for figuring it out. There are blood tests that tell us about dehydration too, but blood does not show us all levels of dehydration. You want to eat several small meals throughout the course of the day instead of two or three large meals throughout the course of the day. Smaller meals are much more easily digested. We could have a conversation about food combining principles too. Should you eat fruits with protein? Should you eat fruits with carbohydrate? Well, a healthy digestive tract will naturally be able to manage the digestion of those foods when they're eaten together. If you have a weak constitution, a weak digestive tract, or a weak immune system, but for real, not just you think you may have a weak immune system or weak digestive tract, your body should be able to handle those foods. But again, there are exceptions. Some people will benefit from a properly combined food combination diet, which means, again, not eating certain foods with others, because ultimately, by combining two foods that require different digestive processes and different pHs in the stomach for digestion to ideally take place, you might compromise the digestion of both of those foods. But that's not always true. Eating several small meals throughout the course of the day will balance out your blood sugar much, much better. And it's more consistent with how mammals and other animals consume foods in the wild when food is available. They are snacking all the time. This artificial three meals a day that most people tend to do or less and they skip breakfast has created in and of itself, even if the foods are healthy, a very unhealthy pattern in human beings, which I feel contributes to a loss of quality of life and length of life. We want to chew our foods thoroughly. By chewing foods, we increase the digestive capacity of our digestive tract. Just the thinking of foods can cause the stomach acid to prepare itself for incoming food and the small intestine to produce the amylase, lipase, and protease enzymes for protein, carbohydrate, and fat digestion. As you chew your foods, this allows that digestive process to really become prepared. If you eat on the run, eat standing up, these are things that affect how your body digests food. So we are not what we eat, we are what we absorb from what we eat. And chewing your food thoroughly can help you absorb better. If a person has a weak digestive tract, my 10th point here is don't drink foods with your meal. Because if you do, you will dilute your stomach acid for several minutes. It may be a minute, it may be 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes, but you will dilute your stomach acid. So I tend to tell my patients to sip their liquids, chew their liquids, in a sense. Make those, pretend those liquids that you're drinking, like water, are solids, so you have very little of it. To drink quite a lot of water in between meals is fine. Of course, one could have too much water, which can dilute your electrolytes and affect your body in an adverse way. So all this is a balancing act. Number 11 is don't eat when you're stressed or on the run, because when you're stressed out or you're standing up or moving when you're eating, your body is in a sort of a stress mode, physiologically speaking. Your sympathetic nervous system is at work, which is involved in the fight or flight reaction, the perception of danger reaction, and your body wants to get out of there. But when you're sitting, your body's in the parasympathetic mode when you're eating, really focusing on your foods, really tasting and thinking about those foods. And the last and final point today is supplement a healthy diet with the nutrients you need for your needs. You have symptoms, you have issues, you have genetic predispositions to disease that all must be considered when choosing nutrients. No, a multivitamin does not have everything you need, nor does it contain what you need necessarily in the proportions that you need them. So detailed laboratory work, like the workup in my Blood Detective Longevity panel, helps determine what vitamins, minerals, herbs you need, when you need to take them, to reduce the amount you need to take them, to just the most important essential things that your chemistry says you need. Then you of course, practice the healthy lifestyle, including dietary suggestions that I would provide for you. And then you develop a lifestyle that is doable, that you know works, because we do retesting. So we can see issues there go away, and you will know that too, and that will increase your compliance. So this is Dr. Michael Wald, and you've been listening to Ask the Blood Detective every Wednesday. Please join us next week. And if you'd like a copy of this audio or others that I've given over the course of the last several months, you can go to my website at www.intmedny.com and send me an email with questions at info@intmedny.com. That's info at intmedny.com. You can call us with questions at 914-242-8844. This is the Blood Detective, Dr. Michael Wald, signing off. Take care and have a great day.